It's good to be with you again. Nice to see some of you I see quite frequently. It's nice to see some of you that I haven't seen in a while. Just to give you an update, if you haven't seen me since last year, or if you haven't seen my family since last year, we are expecting a child in the next coming months. I, on the other hand, am just eating a lot. So, I am not expecting. I'm just eating more than I'm exercising. So that's that. We're glad to be here. I just want to ask you a question as we begin, or let you know and see how you respond. Some of you have, well, all of you have been in school. Some of you are school teachers or still may go to school. And you've heard the phrase that say, you know, there's going to be a test at the end. Well, there's going to be a test sometime after this message. It might not be right after. It might be later on. So it always, in the classes that I went to in school, and especially as a police officer, I go to a lot of classes. And thankfully, police officers know how to teach police officers. They say, listen, you got to remember this. So everybody gets their pen out. Okay, jot that down. We'll doze off afterwards. But remember this. But there's going to be a test after this. And we'll see how we respond. It might not be right away. It might be later on. And we'll see as we look into God's Word what that test is going to require of us. In 1999, Michael W. Smith released an album called This Is Your Time. And the fifth song on the album is the title song to that album. And it was inspired by an event that happened earlier in 1999 on April 20th, and many of you may remember it vividly. On April 20th in 1999, two boys set in action one of the worst massacres on school grounds. And the reason why we remember it, because it was captured on CNN. We were seeing it live. And the song that was written, This Is Your Time, was to memorialize one of the students there. Her name was Cassie Brunel. And how the story initially came out was as these two boys were going through the school, randomly killing people. They came upon Cassie, and they said, are you a Christian? And she said, yes. And they killed her. It was later on found out that, well, this might not have been true. This was like a great story. And yet the song was written, and the first lines of this song says this. It was a test. We could all hope to pass, but none of us want to take. With the choice to deny God and live, for her there was just one choice to make. Now, whether or not that story that had this song started was really true, I'm not sure. However, I do know that there's another story in Scripture where that was absolutely true. And that's in the book of Daniel chapter 3. Turn to Daniel chapter 3 for just a minute. We'll get back to 2 Timothy in a second. In Daniel chapter 3, starting with verse 16, this test comes right down to these three men, and hopefully, as the song says, it's a test we all hope that we can pass, but we really don't all want to be faced with it. Daniel chapter 3, beginning with verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. And what the question was, listen, here's a statue of me. When the music starts to play, everyone in the land must bow down. Everyone. And if you don't, you'll be placed in the burning fiery furnace. And when the music played, everyone bowed down, except for these three men. So it wasn't really easy to hide. And the king, being not a gracious king, but saying, listen, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Maybe you didn't hear the music. Maybe you didn't hear all the fine print of the law. Whatever. I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to play the music again. And they said, listen, we don't have to think about this answer. Sorry. Verse 17. If it's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faced with that test, And they said, with no hesitation, said, no, we're not going to follow your God. We're not going to bow down to your image. We believe in the one true God. And we understand the consequences of our decision. And we're not going to change our mind because we believe that God can save us from that burning fiery furnace. However, if he chooses not to, we still are not going to bow down. As I was looking through 2 Timothy, you turn to 2 Timothy back there, if you held your place. If not, turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I enjoy the opportunity to be a part of this series because it allows me to read this portion. And as our kids were reading the other day, how cows make milk and they chew the grass and they ruminate, and the kids were grossed out. But you know what? It's much like how we can study the Word of God. You read it once and you start to understand it. You think about it again later and you keep working on it. You work on it over and over and over again in time, and the Lord will reveal things to you that maybe you never thought of before. So it's nice to be able to think about this for quite a while. And as we started to read in verse 8, if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, Paul is talking a lot about being strong and enduring and going through some tough times that we have to as Christians. And I was just thinking about this topic of suffering that we're going to look at. I was thinking, boy, this is not a very popular thing to talk about to Christians or non-Christians. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to be the target of anyone. And yet, Paul says, if we are going to live as Christians, we are going to. Beginning with verse 8, after Paul talks much about enduring hardship in verse 3 and being a good soldier and going through suffering, Paul, verse 8, says this: remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Paul loved to talk about Jesus Christ as being the seed of David. He was David's greater son, as it were. He was the one who would come from the lineage of David and be the king because he had the physical lineage, but he was also the king because he was raised from the dead. You know, Paul knew the foundation of his Christian life was based upon the fact of Jesus Christ rising from the dead. Without that foundation, none of the rest of this really matters. Without Jesus Christ rising from the dead, that why are we even here? We think about it at Easter all the time. We think about it, we focus on it. But if we think about why we live our Christian life, if Jesus Christ has not risen from the dead, first of all, he is a liar. Because he said he was going to rise from the dead. He said it many times. Second of all, he's not God's son because he doesn't have the power to rise from the dead. But because we know that Jesus rose from the dead as he said he would, as he was the Son of God, and as many, many saw him, we can place our foundation of our life on that fact. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and has risen from the dead. And because of that, I can base everything in my life upon him. I can count on him for everything. I can rest all that I have upon him. Not only because I trust him for his word, but he is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead. That is the gospel. That is Paul's gospel. Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead. And because of that, life comes to all of us. And yet in verse 9, Paul says, also because of this, for this gospel, he says, I am suffering and in trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. And this is where we start this thinking about suffering. Paul says, because of the gospel, because of what I am preaching to all of you and to everyone that I come in contact with. I mean, Paul, I think Paul would have liked Tract Sunday. Because whether or not Paul had one or not, I bet that no matter who he ran into wherever he was, he wasn't going to waste that opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ who changed his life. But that landed him, much like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that landed him in chains. Not just once, but many times, and ultimately for good. And he suffered as an evildoer. If you look through the book of Acts, and we're studying the book of Acts in Woodside, that we're just seeing how people that proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ can easily be shown as troublemakers, evildoers, against everything that the world has that they think is right. So Paul says, listen, I'm treated as an evildoer, and I'm proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ who rose from the dead that will change people's lives. I am in chains because of that. And then the phrase in verse 9 that I've been thinking about really the most since I've read this months ago is these 7 or 8 words. But the word of God is not chained. The word of God is not chained. There have been challenges on the word of God since I was a kid and even before, that the word of God is inaccurate. The word, how in the world could this happen? We can't believe it. It's just stories. Whatever. The word of God has stood the test of time from the time it was spoken by God to the writers till we have it now. And the power that it has is the same as it ever was. So if I am basing my life on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection, knowing, well, then I've got to learn from the Word of God. The Word of God is not chained. And in the technology age that we have now, if you look, you can look up things, you can look up phrases, look up the phrase, the Word of God is and is not. The Word of God is not bound. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the one thing in this whole world that splits between the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. And it lives, 1 Peter says, the Word of God lives and abides forever. And finally, in Revelation, people were slain for the Word of God. And so I ask you, are you ready to take that test? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and have your life based on Him, are you ready to face that test? Are you ready to suffer for Him as an evildoer? Are you ready to answer that question, perhaps? I mean, we live in a country that is full of freedom, and yet there is a lot of things that go on where people question and even ridicule us for what we do. Are you ready to answer that question? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul says, he continues on, therefore, because of all of this, because the Word of God is not chained, therefore I endure all things. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that I may also obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He says the words endure and being strong. You know, we don't like to think about these words too much. You know, there's a reason why I am the way I am. It's because I don't like to suffer. You know, I listen to my kids, and I don't know where they got this phrase from. As soon as I say it, you might giggle, because coming from an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, like, where in the world did they get this from? But one of my kids comes home from school, and she starts saying, feel the burn, feel the burn. And I'm thinking, where in the world do you know what it means to feel the burn? But like, do you know what it means to feel the burn? I've felt the burn before, and it's not a pleasant thing. You know, we understand what suffering is in our physical lives. If you're training for something, or if you're just plain old dieting, or if you're learning something new, if you are, as a soldier, as Paul says, to be a good soldier, if you're training to be a soldier, you're going to endure things, and you're going to go through pain to bring you to the other side, and you are going to feel the burn. And that's why I just thought it was so ironic. I was like, do you folks even know what you're talking about, feel the burn? It was just quite entertaining coming from an 8-year-old. And I had to respond in my head, I wouldn't admit this, but I had to respond in my head, no, I haven't felt the burn in quite some time. I'd like to again later on, but I really don't. We understand what suffering is. It's not a pleasant thing. Sometimes we choose to go through suffering. We understand that, you know, if I've decided to make it a goal to do this marathon race or to do this thing or to get myself in shape, I'm going to have to deny my body. I'm going to have to put myself through something that's going to get me to the other end. And it's not a pleasant thing. It's not a pleasant thing at all. It will require pain. It will require rejecting what you want. I mean, it's not easy. But with suffering comes results. With suffering comes results. And if you, again, if you look up the word to suffer throughout the Bible, it is there. It's not just suffering for suffering's sake. We don't suffer just for suffering's sake. You know, Paul says in verses 11, 12, and 13, we don't do this just to do it. This is a faithful saying, if we die with him, then we shall also live with him. If we endure, that's that word, endure or suffer again, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny himself. And yet, to go beyond all of that, as I read these, I'm thinking, well, you know what, it's sort of like, okay, if we do this, this will occur. It's pretty easy and cut and dry. And yet, verse 13 is very encouraging to my heart and hopefully to yours. Paul says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. If I deny the Lord Jesus Christ, does that change who he is? Never. It changes who I am, but it never changes who he is. If I make bad decisions and go off like the younger prodigal son and live a life of shame, does that change who he is? Never. Not at all. Because he cannot deny who he is. The Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father are faithful. It's part of their being. It's part of who they are. And it's also how they are. God cannot change himself. We heard that this morning in the Lord's Supper. And I love to hear that. I am the Lord. I do not change. All of us in this room have changed from time to time. For better or for worse. I'm ashamed to say that many times it's been for the worse for me. But thankfully, I can go to the Father who never changes and he is there. And when I am faithless, he remains faithful. Do we understand that this foundation that we stand upon, that is rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the resurrection, is not just some barren field with nothing there? It is a place where we live with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is faithful to the end. You know, that word, the uttermost, we never use that word except in Scripture, to the uttermost. It knows no end. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. So what is it about suffering? You know, Paul has said throughout chapter 2, be strong, be a good soldier, be ready to endure hardships, to suffer all these things. You know, are we desirous of that? I can't say that I look forward to suffering. We live in America. Suffering for people is not an issue. Or suffering for Christians is really not an issue. And yet we look in other countries and we see that when suffering occurs, it's incredible the results of what happens when Christians suffer. Churches in China and in other countries that are ruled by dictators who hate the Bible and do everything in their power to stamp out the Word of God and to stamp out all that believe in Him are flourishing beyond our wildest dreams. And I think, why can't I get like that? Well, first of all, we all like to avoid suffering. I don't know about you, but I'd like to avoid suffering. Whether it's physical suffering or spiritual suffering, you know, nobody wants to, like I said, nobody wants to be the target. We don't like being bullied. You know, bullying has come back, I guess, because I'm a police officer, I'm involved in certain things, and I guess in the last 5 years, bullying has become a fad again. Except now that nobody bullies face to face. You flip your phone open and goes, I'm going to come over and I'm going to beat you up. You never actually do it, but you just bully the person virtually. So bullying has become sort of a hot topic again, and how to avoid bullying. And I don't want my kids to be bullied. I don't want to be bullied. And yet at the same time, Paul says, you know what? If you are bullied, we'll use that word because we understand what that means. If you suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, our initial reaction is, oh, I don't really like this at all. And is that the right reaction? Or do we act like those who, in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name? As we sat in this Lord's Supper meeting, the meeting that's just before this, and we sit around and we look at the table, the bread and the wine, and we think of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me, and we think about His faithfulness and His sacrificial death for me. And then I think, oh, I'm afraid to give this tract out because somebody might say something mean to me. I don't know if I could do that. Or do I understand that this suffering is not directed at me? The Lord Jesus said, you know what? If they hated me, they're going to hate you too. And yet we have the greatest example of the one who endured suffering. When we think of the verses in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Now the joy that was set before Him was not the cross, but the joy that was set before Him was knowing that when He went to that cross, you and I would be able to be with Him in glory because of His death on that cross. That was the joy that was set before Him. You know, I understand perhaps in a microscopic way what that means. I've run a few marathons in my life, not recently, but, you know, getting there, 26 miles, 285 yards, is a long way. Trust me. Even in your car, it's a long way. It's a long, long way. And you know what? I've done a few. And going through those 26 miles, I don't think of where I'm at. You can't, because then it's easy to say, well, you know what? There's a nice cafe right here. I'm going to stop. And I actually, in one I did. It was enough. That's the word that comes to mind, is just enough. You know what? I'm pulling off here. I'm walking back. Done. But if you live right there, if you say, well, all right, I'm running in mile, the key miles are verse, miles, you know, 18, 20, 22, 24, because now your body is so broken down. But you're not thinking about that. Because you're thinking about the finish line. You're thinking about the end. You're thinking about what's going to be there at the end. You're thinking about getting there and finishing. You know, suffering is painful and we don't like it while it's happening. And yet, you know, Paul says this, and it's hard to argue with Paul, because Paul says this in Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. If we're children, then we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If we indeed suffer with him, we'll be glorified with him. If that's not enough for you, first of all, if we suffer with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be glorified with him. That's not enough. If that's not enough to convince you, he says this, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." I don't understand that yet, but I do know and I do believe, and a brother said to me once, he goes, "Listen, 5 seconds into heaven, none of it's going to matter. You will not even remember it, that it occurred." So Paul says, be a good soldier, endure hardship. And you know, as I'm thinking about Paul writing to Timothy, it doesn't really, you know, Paul doesn't give us a huge amount of information about Timothy. We know that, you know, what Paul said to take care of his physical body. I'm thinking Timothy might have been a small guy. He was probably a young guy. He probably took a good deal of beating from those around him. Maybe not physically, but just there was a lot required of Timothy. And Paul just goes on and on. He says, "Listen, endure. Be strong. Get to the end." And finally, he gets to this last part. Verses 14 and 15, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive to words of no profit." He's going over and over, remind these people this, just remind them. You've got to go over and over, remind it. And finally, he gets to the last verse of our portion, verse 15. And I'll tell you, it's an easy way to remember verse 15. You want to learn verse 15 in an easy way? Just think of the word Awana. The Awana Club's thought of this as their phrase. I thought of Awana. It sounds like an Indian term. That's, you know, is it an Indian tribe? No, it's this. Approved workmen are not ashamed. Approved workmen are not ashamed. Paul says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to present ourselves here on this earth and in a day to come, approved to God, a workman or a worker who does not need to be ashamed. And how do we do that? How do you show yourself to be approved in this world? How do you show yourself to your boss that you are a good worker? By just showing up and kicking back? By not knowing your job and say, I'll figure it out. It can't be that hard. Things are blowing up all around you. Not going to get very far. We show ourselves to be approved to God by taking that word of God that we read in verse 9, taking the word of God, which is not changed, and rightly dividing it. Rightly understanding it. But how do we first understand it? First of all, we have to open it. First of all, we have to read it. First of all, we have to reread it. And we have to meditate upon it. And we have to pray about it. And we have to have the Lord's Spirit open our eyes to see it. And then, when we understand it and begin to understand it, we understand how it all works together and how the Old Testament talks about the New Testament. And it all fits together and we understand the Word of God. Then we will be approved workmen. Does that mean that you're not, if you haven't got it all together? I mean, I stand here in an audience of men that I cower at some of your knowledge of the Word of God. But does that mean that I'm not ready? I should just sit back and say, you know what, I'll never be ready. I'll never be as knowledgeable. No. Because I would dare say, anyone in this room would say, listen, all of our lives we've studied and we're never any closer. We get more, we understand more, but there's more to learn. There's more to plumb. We never get to the depths of the ocean in the Word of God. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. But we have to open it. We have to look into it. And when we do, we'll understand where that suffering comes from. We'll understand what's going to take us through that suffering. Understanding that Jesus suffered first and that we follow his example. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Paul sums our Christian life up in this one verse. And I'm sure you know it, but I just want to quote it because to me this really just captures it. As we close, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Paul says this, I want to know Jesus Christ so much and I want to know him so bad that I will even partake in his sufferings and perhaps in his manner of death. Do we want to know Jesus Christ that bad? Do I want to know Jesus Christ that bad? This has been a very humbling meditation for me because like I don't want to be ridiculed because I know Jesus Christ. I don't want to be ridiculed, period. I like to have people like me. I don't like people to bully me. But do I realize that if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and the more I get to know Him, it's going to change my life in such a way that I can't help but tell other people. And I can't get away from that. Paul says, be strong. Endure like a good soldier. And just get ready to show yourself approved to God. A worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul wanted to know Jesus Christ, and I hope you all do as well. Not, if you don't know him as your Savior, that's where you start. Because if you don't know him as your Savior, then the rest of the knowing of him is just knowledge, just information. It really is not life-changing. To know Jesus Christ as your Savior is to start. But after that, it's a journey that will never end for you. And hopefully never get boring. So as we go through our lives, you know, I thank the Lord that we live in the United States. Live in a country that has freedom. And yet if you're really honest with yourself, there's a whole lot of unfreedom. Because if you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, that's what people really don't want. You could do whatever you want, but just don't preach Jesus Christ. Are we ready to say, you know what? I am not going to follow your gods. I'm not going to bow down to that image because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I believe that God will save me. And if not, then that's fine too. I'm just going to keep on believing. May it be so. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we know that you suffered for us and we are ever so thankful that you suffered for us. Yet we know as we get to know you better and we follow your direction to go into the world, whether it's across the street, to our co-workers, to others we meet, that if we bring them the Lord Jesus Christ, there may be rejection and suffering for your sake. Help us to endure. Help us to be strong. That as we stand on the foundation of salvation, that you would just be with us as we go through this. Lord, we pray for our country. And we know that we would like to see much changed. And yet we know that more importantly that you want us to proclaim your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that hearts would be changed for all eternity. Lord, may we get ourselves ready to be approved by you as we open your word and make it part of our lives. Be with us now as we part in Jesus' name. Amen.